Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Let's read our scripture for today. Let's read Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. We're going to read it first in the Amplified and then in the Message paraphrase. Let's read together. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Come on, let's read it in the Message and let's read it with some fire. You ready? God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Come on, give him praise. As Pastor Kevin said, we just had a glorious weekend at our More 24 conference. It was just so incredible. We had 20 churches and ministries represented here. Of course, a massive part of our own team. We had so many members of NLC who aren't even on the creative team who came for creative conference. It was just so cool. And we really bless God. And we're just so honored, church. We're just, it's such an honor to have these people come in and be able to just wash their feet, encourage them, serve them. Man, we ate some food this weekend. Wah, 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 wah. Because it's a huge part of being creative is eating great meals. Hallelujah. And of course, our massive thanks to Pastor Don and Miss Amy, our visionaries, our leaders. Man, our the OG worship leaders of NLC. They gave us wings and they let us fly. And it's just been an awesome time. And we give God all the glory. And today I'm actually going to share a tweaked version of one of the sessions that we shared at More 24. Today we're going to be talking about more breakthrough. Hallelujah. I love this scripture. I think every believer loves this scripture because all of us are very interested in the exceedingly abundantly above all. There is super abundantly more than you would ever dare to ask or think. There is more than your greatest prayers, your greatest hopes, or your greatest dreams. There is more for you. You have not capped God's ability in your life. You're not too young and you're not too old. You're not behind the season God has for you and you're not in front of it. You are right where God wants you, and there is more for you. There is more than you could imagine. There is more than you could guess. There is more than you could request. There is more than your wildest dreams. There is more breakthrough that God has for you. You can choose to believe it. You can choose to receive it. But it is the promise of God in his word to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more. More. Who's interested in the more? Okay, I see some people who didn't lift their hands, and that's okay. But I'm going to talk to the people today who are interested in more that God has for them. What is the caveat? What is the catch? What do we have to do to get that more? How many of us want more in our marriages, more in our families, more in our businesses, more in our influence, more in our ministry, more in our impact, more in our health, more in our wealth, more in our joy, more in our peace, more in being settled, more in being secure, more in being sure? We need more. We want more. So what do we do? This scripture says that all of the more that God has is according to the power that is at work in us. According to is the Greek word kata. Kata means in as much, measured by, to flow down from. I don't know about you, but I find it very tempting to think that the super abundant more than I can dare imagine is according to my budget. It's according to my financial status. It's hard for me to disassociate my wildest dreams from the reality of my bank account. Maybe not you, but I struggle with this. When I think about, when I imagine, and this is what scripture says, beyond your wildest imaginings, when I get wild with my imagination, I can't help but think that what is going to limit my imagination is my financial status. How tempting it is to think that my wildest dreams are according to my strength, or that they're flowing down from my connections, or it's in as much as my influence, or that my hopes and my greatest prayers are measured by my opportunities or my access or my proximity to influential people. Think about it for a service. Think about this. When you get crazy in your imagination, think about your marriage, your family, your business, your whatever, your bucket list. When you really get, I'm not talking about being practical, like, you know, I just want skuma and ugali every day so that I can just survive and, you know, just pay my rent. And that's great. But this scripture says, to him who's able to do abundantly more, I want your brain to start going to, what is that for you? What is that more? And it's so tempting to think, to get that, I need to have Uncle so-and-so somewhere who can enable that. To get that promotion, I have to have access to that CEO. Or I have to have a family member somewhere in this establishment to get the correct push that I need to access the abundant more that I imagine. But the more that God has is not based on my finances, it's not based on my connections, it's not based on my proximity to influential people, it's not based on my own ability or my own strength or my own talents or my own skills. It's based on his power at work in me. So the only thing that caps it off, the only thing that measures it, is what is working in me. What an awesome thing to know that it's not budget. Either you people are very wealthy and you're not worried about budget, or somebody needs to just say a better amen. What a good thing that it's not attached to your budget or to your status in society. What a good thing it's not attached to where you were born or what neighborhood you live in. What a good thing that what God can do is not capped at who I'm connected to. But what a sobering thing that that's most likely what the enemy will use to distract me from focusing on what will bring the more. If the more that God has for me is based on his power at work in me, then it's probably likely that the enemy is going to make me focus on the promotion, because I think the promotion is what's my key to the more, and I stop looking at what power is working in me. I start focusing on being at my workplace from 5:30 in the morning until 8:30 at night, and I'm working ungodly amounts of hours because I just believe that this, I don't take a day off, my children don't see me, I don't have healthy rhythms of rest, because I somehow believe that it is this that is attached to the more. And the enemy's going to make me focus on, I have to do this, and I have to go there, and I have to call so-and-so, and I have to do these things. Now, I'm not talking about being wise and using resources and having good work ethic. I'm talking about thinking that the key to all that God has for me is somehow in what I'm doing instead of what's at work in me. Everyone wants opportunity, but few want responsibility. We want the opportunity for more, but the responsibility for more is in me. It does not say that the abundant beyond what you could dream, imagine, ask, or guess is attached to his power. Church, I hope you're hearing me this morning. We so often think that if I get close even to the power of God, that that's what's going to cause my breakthrough. It's not according to his power. It's according to his power at work in you, in me. What power is at work in you? What power is working out of you? Hebrews 12:1 from the NCV says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of a cloud. I always panic a little bit. I'm like, is it cloud or crowd? We are surrounded by a great cloud of people. But I guess it would make sense even if you shrubbed it, right? Yeah. Whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. The Message paraphrases it as, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. The problem with a lot of us is that we have extra spiritual fat. And I might not be qualified to talk about a lot of things in life, but I feel that I have a lot of experience when it comes to talking about extra fluffiness. It's okay, you can laugh. You won't hurt my feelings. I'm the one who said it. Fat is what happens when we take a lot of things in, but we don't work them out. Fat is what happens when I keep taking things in, but I'm not working them out. And the way to cure spiritual obesity is obedience. So many of us are having a hard time in the race we're running, not because we aren't receiving and taking in what God has for us. It's because it's not working out as it should. And the only way to cure obesity, is obedience. Obedience is not knowing what I should do. Obedience is not talking about what I should do. Obedience is not writing it in my daily Rhema journal, what I'm supposed to do. Obedience isn't making a vision board about what I'm supposed to do. Obedience isn't even making a plan about what I'm supposed to do. Obedience is doing it. Listen, I can make a great workout plan. In fact, I have. Y'all should see my plan for working out. It is a masterpiece. It is so good. It has times. It has, you know, machines and different strategies. And today is leg day and tomorrow is arm day. And then there's, I don't know, foot day. There's things like that. Not only do I have a workout plan, I have a diet. Oh, you guys, I literally paid a dietitian to come and assess me and do BMI and so do we pinch fat places and be like, hey, we need to do this and we need to do that and you need to have this much protein and this much this and this much that and micros and macros and so do you calorie count and intake and outtake and blah, blah. And it's so scientific and it's so great. But church, look at me. Thank you. I do look great. But do I look like the great plan is having any kind of effect? It's not. Why? Because it's not having it, knowing it, writing it, believing it, teaching it, challenging somebody else about it. It's about doing it. But the enemy, or even more likely my own flesh, will convince me that I'm working it out just because I know how to talk it up. The enemy will convince me that because I can go to cell and preach a word to my girls that leaves them in shock and awe about the Rhema of God, that I'm going back to the same bondage and the same cycles, because even though I can talk it, if I'm not doing it, then you're not going to see it in my life. It's according to his power at work in me. Very few of us need another sermon. We just need the ones we've heard to be at work in us. Very few of us need another word. In fact, church, if you're a member of Nairobi Lighthouse Church, you are one of the most fed believers in the city, in the nation, in the world. If you've just been through PEP, which is coming up, by the way, in case you haven't, but just PEP. You know, my husband and I laugh and often cry that every problem we have in our marriage, the solution is in our premarital book. We have it. We know it. It's just we're not doing it. And very few of us need to go to another revival or have it. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church, just go home and live out the messages. You know, find your 1997 book of messages from City Stadium and just live that. Please come to church next Sunday. You need to hear the word next Sunday. But do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to work it out. That's how we get rid of fat. Some of us are about 50 sermons overweight. We're having to carry around the weight of revelation and the weight of being fed and the weight of PEP and the weight of insight and the weight of last cell and the weight of the messages from January. All of those things have the power to give you the energy, the strength that you need to go further in the race. It's not the message that's the problem. It's that we're not doing it. That now it becomes something I have to carry instead of something that carries me. So today I want to share with you very quickly four things that I believe that God wants to remind us and encourage us. Four things that God is able to do super abundantly more than you could ask, dream, or imagine. Four areas that I believe we need to just be reminded that He is able, more than able, to accomplish His purpose more than you could even dare to ask. Number one. Here. Where is your here? I'm not just talking about here in this room, in these four walls. Where's your here? Your home, your school, your business, here. Not another place, not another assignment, not another location. God is able, more than able, to give you more breakthrough than you dare dream. Right here. In fact, God has entrusted you here. Oh, how much delay and destruction and frustration and anxiety we can cause and we can carry by simply always focusing there. There. That other place. Oh, I wish I was in that other place. Oh, I wish I'd gotten that green card to go to that other place. Oh, I wish I'd gotten that scholarship to go to that other place. Might God move you one day? Maybe so. But until He does, what He has entrusted you with is here. And we often miss the super abundant more because we keep focusing there. There, I wish I was there. I wish I was in that neighborhood. I wish I was in that job. I wish I was in that cell group. You're not. You're here. For a reason. For a purpose. Oh, to Him who is able to accomplish His purpose here. You don't have to move to see the move of God. Number two, now. God can do more than you can imagine here. And God can do more than you could ask now. This season that you're in right now. Not later. Not tomorrow, not perhaps 10 years ago when I was younger, now, right now. It might seem inconvenient, it might seem unrealistic, but there is a power that can work in you right now for that breakthrough. Quit postponing the power of God to then. Sometime in the future, right now, it's inconvenient. I have a lot of small children in the house. God can't use me right now. God will use me then. No, my friends, now. It's now. It's here. It's now. Well, maybe it would have been then, the past. No, it's now. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to hear this. You have not missed your now. You've not missed it. You're not missing it. The older I get, I tend to face this thought that I'm getting too old. No, I'm not. It's now. It's right now. He knows the season you're in. He puts you in the season you're in. He's entrusted you with here, and he's entrusted you with now. For such a time as this. Number three, this. God can do more than you can imagine here. God can do more than you can imagine now. And God can do more than you can imagine with this. There's a story I love in the Bible where God is calling an ordinary man into extraordinary circumstances. And this man gets so overwhelmed here, now. And he tells God, I don't think I can. And this is the question God asks him. What do you have in your hand? And he holds up a shepherd's staff. God is able to do exceedingly, super abundantly, more than your wildest imaginations with this. There are so many in this room being limited by your this. Open a Red Sea with this. Turn a river to blood with this. Throw it down and it becomes a snake. This? What do you have in your hand, church? This amount of money? This sweater? This talent to cook meals? This is what you're going to use? There are 5,000 people who are hungry. Not people, men. We don't even know the women and children. 5,000 men are hungry. And all we have in our hand right now is 5 small loaves and 2 fish. This is what you're going to use to feed a hungry crowd? Some of you need to stop looking at what's in your hand and sneering at it and despising it. You see, friends, it's not according to the power that's at work in this. It's according to the power that's at work in you. This is just a tool. And you know why that excites me? Because it puts potential in every single this I have that seems so insignificant, that seems way too small, that seems like there is no way. Oh, but he can do more than I can imagine with this, according to the power that's in me. It's not the staff that parted the sea, and it's not the loaves and the fish that multiplied themselves. It was the power of God in Moses. It was the power of God in Jesus. You need to realize something, church. It's not God has given you this. What it is God has given you this. The power is not in the this. The power is in you. You are the key. So that means when the man of God comes and says, I'm hungry, and you say, I'm running out of oil. In fact, I only have enough left to make a cake for me and my son to die. And he says, hey, go start asking for empty vessels. And all you have, your only this, is a small little jar of oil. But the power that starts working in you to flow through this. Thank God. It's not according to the power at work in this stuff around me, because that starts making me see the stuff around me as incredible opportunities for wildly more than I could imagine. My this that seems insufficient does not limit me, because it does not limit God. Number four, them. The people that God has given you, the people that God has surrounded you with right now, your family, your spouse, your children, your team, your pastor, your leaders, your cell, your staff, your schoolmates, your colleagues. Quit thinking that if you had different people, you'd have better impact. Jesus had 12 ordinary men, and they were questionable, some of them. Jesus' them was not impressive. Jesus' them was not elite. In fact, Jesus would hold up his hand and be like, "You people, how long must I put up with you?" These are people who are like, "Master, we heard those guys praying, but they're not part of us. See, we called down fire and we burned them." Like, what? This is Jesus's them? "Guys, I'm going to travail. Pray with me." "Oh, we got you, man, we got you." And 20 minutes later, this is the creator of the world's them. And yet, these are the men who the Bible says turned the world upside down. John 17:6, Jesus makes it very clear that he believes that God is the one who gave him his them. "I've manifested your name and revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me." God has given you your them, not others, not another church, not another cell, not another spouse, not another family. "Well, if I had married so-and-so, maybe then God could do super abundantly." No, 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 no. God's given you a great them. God's given you a great he or a great she. God's given you the right people around you to do his purpose through you. So we need to stop giving into the distraction tactic of always looking at somebody else's them and thinking that there would be more power at work if I was with them. God has given you your here. God has given you your now. God has given you your this. God has given you your them. He has entrusted you with all of this. Now, what are you doing with it? And what power is at work in you for all of it? Some of us have the power of fear working through us about our here. Some of us have the power of comparison working through us about our now. Some of us have the power of bitterness working through us about our this. Some of us have the power of resentment working through us about our them. But there is more for you. There is super abundantly more than you would even dare to ask or think. Infinitely beyond your greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. I'm gonna say it again. There is more for you. It's not based on your level of education. It's not based on the family you were born into. It's not based on your bank account. It's not based on the season you're in right now. "Well, God can't do what I can imagine right now because I just had a baby." That baby is not the limitation of your wildest dreams. According to the power that is at work in you. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes? And if you're here right now and you just know, I've had the power of fear or the power of comparison. I've had the power of panic. I've had the power of disappointment. I've had the power of disillusionment. I've had the power of discouragement working in me. I've had the power of laziness working in me. But I'm ready for the more. I'm desiring the more. And I need a refreshing of the power of God working in me. Would you just lift your hand really quickly to the Lord? Just let him see it. Father, I want to pray for every person with their hand lifted right now. I want to pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit right now, come and lift every heavy burden. Come and remove the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of chaos, the spirit of comparison, the spirit of insufficiency, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of worry, the spirit of slothfulness, the spirit of disappointment, the spirit that says, I tried this before and it didn't work. It's just not for me. God, I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, remove, take away, and fill us up again with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, let healing flow through this room right now. God, we have been so focused and distracted. We've been so limited because we've been keeping our eyes on our finances, on our connections, on our resources, on our proximity to influential people. We've been limited, Father God, by thinking the season is past or I'll never get to the season, it's ahead of me. We're so distracted looking at over there and over there, looking at those people and those people, looking at what they have to use and what they have at their disposal, looking at others this and others them, looking at others locations and other seasons. But God, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would remind every man and every woman sitting in this room that you have entrusted them here. You have entrusted them now. You have entrusted them with this. You have entrusted them with them. And there is no limit in their here. There is no limit in their now. There is no limit in their this. There is no limit with their them. Father, those are the things you have intentionally given them to show forth your glory, to show forth your power, to show forth your goodness, to show forth your mercy, to show forth your ability. It's not the staff that's opening the Red Sea. It's God who's opening the Red Sea by his power in me through what I have, through what I've surrendered to him, through what I've said, yes, you can have it. You're worthy of it all. Lord, some of us are withholding, not because what we're giving you is too big, but because what we think we're giving you is too small. So many of us withhold, not because this is such a big sacrifice for me to make. We're withholding because we think this is such a small thing for me to give you. What could you do with this? It's only a small amount of time I have in my day. It's only a small amount of money I have in my account. It's only a small talent. It's only a small skill. It's only a small ability. It's only a small reach. It's only a small influence. And so we withhold it because we're embarrassed, because we've already limited what you could do if we would just say, here are my two fish. Here are my five loaves. Take them, God. Do with them what you can do. Here's my little jar of oil. It's not even enough for two meals. But have it, God. Have it. Take it. It's yours. And oh, what wild, incredible things could happen when we obey, when we put it to work, that small thing that we have, when we start putting it to work, there is a big God who can take everything I give him and work his wonders through them. So I say afresh today, you're worthy of it all. Jesus, you're worthy of it all. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.